Welcome to Transforming Energy, the NREL podcast, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy's National Renewable Energy Laboratory. We're highlighting the latest in clean energy research and innovations happening at the lab. It's Wednesday, April 3rd. I'm Karen Jeremin.
And I'm Natalia Small.
Yes, Natalia, back in the audio booth. Yet again, in for Taylor this week.
Yeah, this time it's Taylor who's taking some time away. So I'm so happy to fill in again. Thanks for having me back.
Obviously, yes. Happy to have you and excited to dive right into these latest stories from the lab. Okay, Natalia, you're from Colorado, right?
Yes, I am. I was born and raised right here in Colorado.
Okay, well, I imagine that means you've probably seen a few wildfires in your day then.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have. Growing up in Colorado, wildfires have really been an ever-present threat throughout my entire life. Mm. Even when I was in elementary school, there was a fire on the mountain just a few miles from my parents' home.
Wow.
And over the years, my friends and relatives have been forced to evacuate their homes due to wildfires on the western side of the state, near the mountains, and on the eastern plains. You know, it's especially anxiety-inducing when droughts and high winds create the perfect conditions for devastation.
Yeah, I imagine, and I sympathize that you've had to experience that, and honestly, you're not alone. I've been through a few extreme weather events myself, and many others, too. Events like this, they're becoming increasingly made worse by climate change, things like wildfires, floods, and more intense storms, and is giving a lot of people anxiety about what the future looks like.
It's such a prevalent feeling plaguing folks today, and there's even a term for it, climate anxiety. A study in The Lancet, a leading medical journal, found that more than half of young people today feel very or extremely worried about climate change.
Yeah, I get it. It's hard not to. But in all of this, I think it's really important to emphasize the positive and highlight hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big part of why I enjoy not only this podcast, because we're often highlighting the positive side of things, but really a lot of the work we're doing here at NREL, too. It's a lot of optimism. Hope builds when we're able to focus on solutions, action, and a sense of agency.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a new tool from NREL researchers is hoping to do just that. The Ready Island app was created to help students and young people visualize technological solutions like solar, wind, geothermal, and more.
Yes, this is such a cool project. I've heard of this one. Ready Island is an educational virtual world powered entirely by renewable energy. Ready, which, as you probably guessed, is an acronym, stands for Renewable Energy Discovery Island, is designed for students, educators, or really anyone curious about how we can build a more sustainable world powered by clean energy.
Yeah, and another neat aspect is that students can explore technologies and careers through Ready Island, showing them jobs in the industry. Ready Island is a web application that allows you to explore through videos, 3D visualizations, and more to showcase renewable energy technologies in action.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And as you might expect, based on the island part of the name, the virtual Ready Island world currently gets most of its energy from water power, teaching how steady hydropower and up-and-coming marine energy can help build a 100% clean energy power system.
Yeah, the Ready Island team shared a description of the tool that truly feels like it's from a movie trailer. But I think it does a great job explaining Ready Island.
I mean, you kind of walked right into that one. It sounds like a movie trailer. I gotta hear it. Can you tell us and give it your best movie trailer voice?
Okay, Karen. I will try my best. All right, here we go. Imagine a world where rivers, tides, and waves generate the energy needed to power our communities, monitor our environment, and provide clean drinking water for all.
Wow. That was good.
Thanks. I was trying to channel Taylor a little bit in that. I know he has a great announcer voice.
Yeah, he kind of wins hands down. Taylor,
oh, yeah.
we'll have you do that one when you're back. But all right, great job. And
thanks.
Yeah, it really is a good explanation of the tool. You don't have to imagine all those things because Ready Island immerses you in them.
Exactly. It's so interactive. Users can see how river currents power a farm, how waves help generate clean drinking water, how bobbing buoys warn ships to avoid coral reefs, and how hydropower keeps a city's lights on. They can watch educational videos, spin a 3D replica to examine what a winch drum does. I mean, that's something that I want to look into.
I would love to know.
Oh, totally. Or take a dip underwater to discover if any future technology is shorter than LeBron James.
That's very specific.
Very.
And Ready Island is continuing to grow. Eventually, there will be 15 way stations for users to explore, helping us all see a future where renewable energy solutions are creating a cleaner, more sustainable world.
It certainly gives me hope for the future. Speaking of the future, let's shift gears.
Okay, let's. Out of the ocean and into the skies.
When we think about electric vehicles, we often think about cars. But in the future, we may be looking at electric aircraft.
Ooh.
Specifically, electric aircraft with vertical takeoff and landing.
It's like my dream.
It
sounds so futuristic, but honestly, it may not be as far off as we may think. These aircraft could quickly move passengers over mountains, or float them across urban landscapes. But first, we need to consider the infrastructure for charging these aircraft.
This is something NREL analyzed for the Federal Aviation Administration, known as the FAA, to help the agency plan around the potential growth. Our researchers evaluated the charging demand, costs, emissions, hazards, regulations, and technical requirements of developing electrified aviation infrastructure at diverse locations.
Right. The team found that for consistent operations, this type of charging port would need at least around 1 megawatt charging capacity.
Mm.
That 1 megawatt of electricity could power 800 homes, which is significant.
That is significant. And that would require some significant grid upgrades, which NREL researchers took into account and released tools for utilities to start planning for those upgrades.
So this study was just a start. It summarized the major complications related to electrified aviation charging. NREL is continuing to work with the FAA and even look at areas like hydrogen-powered infrastructure and reducing energy demand and boosting resilience for FAA facilities. Okay, before we close out, we want to make sure you all, our listeners, know about two very cool things up and coming. One, actually, that already happened. Mm-hmm. We just released our second Lab Notes episode. Lab Notes are longer episodes that give you a deeper look into our work at NREL.
Yeah, so listeners, the latest episode is so interesting.
Super interesting.
Because it focuses on our work in Alaska. So NREL's Alaska campus is located in Fairbanks. But this episode story brings listeners to a remote village to hear from some great researchers and locals about the importance of housing.
Yeah, please check out this episode. It really is fantastic. And we want you to hear about our work in Alaska. It's really, really amazing. The other very cool thing that everyone is talking about, my mother especially, the total solar eclipse happening on Monday, April 8th, 2024.
Woohoo! I know that I'm definitely excited, Karen. So yeah, the eclipse is a huge deal for the energy industry. The last time there was a total solar eclipse visible in the U.S. was back in 2017.
I remember it.
I mean, yeah, I even remember where I was that day. I was on the Colorado School of Mines campus watching with some friends.
Cool.
It was really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So since then, we've added almost four times more solar energy to the grid. So we're really interested in what will happen with solar energy when the sun goes dark. Like, there might be power outages or grid failures.
Mm. The good thing is we don't expect anything like that
True.
Will actually happen. But megawatts of power will go offline during the celestial event. And to help keep grid operators informed and coordinated, NREL researchers will be studying the eclipse and its potential impacts to the power system in real time as it crosses the nation. Be sure to follow along on our social media feeds for more information on that.
Yeah, and with that, we will close out this episode of Transforming Energy, the NREL podcast.
Natalia, thanks so much for being here today and joining me for this episode. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Karen. It was so great being in the booth with you today.
Taylor and I will be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Transforming Energy. We'll catch you then. This episode was adapted from NREL News articles from March 2024, written by Caitlin McDermott Murphy and Connor O'Neill. Our theme music is written and performed by Ted Vaca, and episode music by Chuck Koenig, Jim Riley, and Mark Sanseverino of Drift BC. This podcast is produced by NREL's Communications Office and recorded at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Colorado. We express our gratitude and acknowledge that the land we are on is the traditional and ancestral homelands of the Arapaho, Cheyenne, and Ute peoples. We recognize and pay respect to the Indigenous peoples from our past, present, and future, and are grateful to those who have been and continue to be stewards of this land.